Well, let's turn over to John as we opened up here, John 14, 27. And familiar scripture verse. And as I was sharing, you know, today, if you think about and you just listen to conversations, I guess that would be the best way to express it. If you listen to conversations in general with people, and you just turn on the news, worry and anxiety is prevalent. It just is. You know, turn on the news and see if you can find some good news. It's mostly bad news. And so people are worrying about a whole host of things. They're worrying about their health. They're worrying about what? Their finances. They're worrying about their marriage. They're worrying about their children. And they're worrying about another big thing today is terrorists. People are thinking about worrying about, oh my God, what's going to happen to this country? So people are worrying about things. You ever notice something about worry? Worry is something we, you know, you end up worrying about something that hasn't happened yet. Right? And you ever notice something? The devil never contests you with something that you've already received from God. He's always going to contest you about something that hasn't happened to you yet or you haven't received. Boy, that's silly, isn't it? He's a liar. He never changes. If I receive once, I'm going to receive again. He'll never contest you or call into question something you received from God. It's always something you haven't received yet. Right? So, what do we do? So really, when you think about it, worry, you know, when we talk about things, worry is really the fruit of, you could say, or the harvest of fear. You fear enough and you worry. So worry is the fruit of fear. So fear, and we know this, fear will cripple your faith. You get over into worry and fear, it'll impact your faith. It'll affect it. So John 14, 27, we read this before. It said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is not supposed to be troubled? Your heart, your spirit. That's the real you. I like some of these other translations here. The Good News Translation, it says, do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Do not be worried or upset. I like the Amplified. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But listen to what they have in brackets. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Boy, they hit enough descriptions there that hopefully we don't fit into one of those. So if something is agitating you, disturbing you, causing you to be fearful or intimidated about something, then you need to, as they say, stop it. You need to unhook, right? The Passion Translation. It says, don't yield to fear. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. I like that. That's saying, you know, be in faith. Be courageous. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. So this word trouble, when the Lord said in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled means to cause, this is just a definition. It says to cause one inward commotion, take away your calmness of mind. to render anxious or distressed. So if you're anxious or distressed about something and your calmness of mind is disrupted, then he said, don't do it. Let not your heart be troubled. So if he said, let not, then that means we have the ability to do it. We can do it. Otherwise, he'd be unjust. He'd be a liar. So I took some time to just look some of these things up here. Worry, just between the noun and the verb, the definition of worry, it's mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. So it hadn't happened yet. You're worrying about something that hasn't happened. It's either impending or anticipated. The verb, it says, to afflict with mental distress or agitation, make anxious. So we're not to be anxious. We're not to be troubled about things. Didn't say they're not going to come, but we're not to let it trouble us. Things that are synonyms of the word worry means to fear, fret, fuss. Here's one, stew, not something to eat. You know what I'm talking about. You're stewing over something, right? Stress, sweat, trouble, anxiety, care, concern, harass, annoyed, you know. So stress is a form of worry. Stress is a form of worry. This word means a state of mental tension and worry caused by problems in your life or work. So if you're stressed about, and you know, we see this in society, people are stressed about their job. People are stressed about a whole host of things. They're stressed about those things. That just means you have mental anxiety or concern or tension over that. So worrisome thoughts never bring peace and joy. If you're worried about it, then you're not going to be in peace and joy. You're going to be constantly agitated over that or worried about that, right? And God said, let not, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be agitated. So Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is what? Death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what is that telling us? If we're anxious, we're being carnally minded. If I'm being fretful about something, I'm being carnally minded. We don't like to think, he's like, oh, I'm spiritual. Okay, let's talk about how you worry. And let's see how spiritual you are, right? I mean, that's just being plain. See, we've all been there. And so that means that we can grow spiritually in certain areas of our life that maybe we haven't developed as well as we should, right? We're letting something bother us. We're letting something concern us. And God is saying, don't do it. Because really, the devil is what? He's not so much after, he puts pressure on us to do what? Get at your what? Your faith. Because he knows faith will overcome. This is the victory that what? Overcometh the world, even our faith. So he's not after you per se. He's after your faith, because if he gets that disrupted, he knows he's got it. He got you. See? So stop thinking about it's you, it's me, it's me. No, it's your faith, and it's the one who's in you. Right? So flip the script. Remind him he's defeated. He made an open show of him, triumphing over him in it, in himself. He triumphed over him. He's the one that's defeated, not you. So this mind that we should have, the New Living says, so letting, I like these modern English translations. It said, New Living Translation says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. See, I like the way he puts that. Your sinful nature control your mind. But it says, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The Good News Translation, it says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. What does that mean? That means if you keep letting pressures of life control your choices and your decisions, then we are controlled by impulses and external from the without. I know I pulled something off the out of the dictionary. It said, worry, it says, implies, this is just out of the dictionary, worry implies an incessant goading or attacking that drives one to desperation. So it's this constant pushing and goading to do what? Cause us to make a choice in desperation. And people do it all the time. I just want the pressure to go away. I just want it to go away. People make choices all the time. People, when they get sick, I just want it to go. I just want the pain to go away. And they make choices out of desperation and out of despair. People do it all the time. They make financial choices. They make marital choices. They make children choices. I just want this to stop. And out of desperation, they're pushed into making a choice instead of doing what? Trusting God. Looking to God and not being carnally minded, but he said, but being spiritually minded is life and peace. Letting our spiritual nature help us make the right choice. What does that mean? And we'll go over and look at that, but you look at Proverbs 3, and it talks about wisdom and letting wisdom lead us and make the right choices, right? And not be pressured or goaded into doing something. And we've all been there. Hey, I've been there. Amen. Push, 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 push. I like what you just did. Be like a donkey. Sit down right in the middle of the road and just say, I ain't moving nowhere until I get direction from God. I don't care what you all say. I'm not doing nothing till I hear from God. Be like one of them ornery mules. Just sit down right in the middle of the road. You know what I'm saying? Don't be pushed into making a choice, because worry and those anxieties will push us to do something. You know how people, they get into, you know, I mean, just simple things. They start exercising, they start losing weight, and then the thoughts come, I just got to have something to eat. I eat, eat, eat. And then what do? They go back and they eat and they get off it, right? It can be that. It can be money. Whatever it is, these pressures come to make us make bad choices. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That's where the true answers come. Remember last month or so, we were talking about the power of the seed, the parable of the sower. But look at this particular scripture verse here in Mark. And of course, it's in Mark and Luke, but look at Mark 4, 18 and 19. Mark 4, 18 and 19, and this is talking about, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just pulling these two verses out here, Mark 4, 18 and 19, and it says, and these are they, talking about the seeds that are sown among the thorns, right? It said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and what? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, doing what? Entering in. Entering in where? In your mind, and if you keep meditating on it, it gets down in your heart. entering in does what? Chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This word cares, if you look it up, it means anxieties. So the anxieties of this world, the cares of this world will do what? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So this is what the Lord is saying. You know, we can be going along, and we can allow the cares of this world to enter in, and it will do what? Choke the effectiveness of the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let me just, I mentioned Proverbs chapter 3. Let's just jump over there quickly. Proverbs chapter 3. And starting at the first verse, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but what? Let thine heart keep my commandments." And Jesus said, what? Let not your heart be troubled. He's saying, let your heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days, long life, and what? Peace. Shall they do what? Add to thee. So they'll add to us. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. What is verse 5? Familiar 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. You know, I think sometimes, and we may go over there and look again, but Philippians 4:6, when it says, be careful for nothing, or most of the translations say, be anxious, don't worry about one thing. It doesn't say, don't think about things. And I think sometimes people get tripped up here. Just take go over to Matthew 6 for a moment. Matthew 6, and, you know, when we look at all of these scriptures, we see similarities, but Matthew chapter 6, and verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, let's stop here. You could take that and think it just means don't even think about your life. Well, that's not what it's saying. Because we just got done reading in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. It doesn't mean that we don't use our brain. It doesn't mean we don't think. It just means we're not to do what? Take anxious thought. You see. So that's what Jesus is saying here. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. My margin says, for this word, take no thought, it says, be not anxious. So he's saying, take no anxious thought. He didn't say, don't think about your life. Because there's a place, and everybody knows this, when you go from thinking about it to being anxious about it. And everybody knows the difference. It didn't say, don't think about buying clothes or buying food or all that. That's silly. He's not saying that. He's not saying don't think about these things that we have to do in life, buying a house, buying a car. He's just saying don't take anxious thought, how are we going to get by? How are we going to eat? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? He's saying don't take anxious, careful thought. Because he's saying here, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet what? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? See, that's what he's saying in verse 25. Take no anxious thought. Don't be concerned for your life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Nor yet for your body. What shall we put on? Is your life not more than meat and your body than raiment? He didn't say don't think about it. He said don't be concerned about it. Because Paul even wrote, he said, I'm content with whatever state I find myself in. So we need to have that mindset. And again, it goes down. It continues. It says, which of you taking thought? See, anxious thought. Which one of you being worried and anxious has changed the situation? None. And it says, and why take ye thought, anxious thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And of course, it keeps going down. He keeps, verse 31, therefore take no thought, take no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, and so forth and so on. If you're concerned about something, in other words, something that you need in life, he's concerned about it. What does the scripture say? He's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses and infirmities. He's touched with that. So don't sit here and you know, people say, well, God's not. Yes, he is. He's concerned about you. He said right here he is. He said, aren't you not more worth more than the lilies of the field? If you see birds eating, you can look out and say, well, the birds are eating. That means I'm going to eat. Because he said so. So that just means our needs will be met. You don't need to be anxious about it and worry about it. And people worry about these things. Oh, my God, I'm retired now. I don't have an income. What am I going to do now? That's anxious thought. Doesn't mean that you don't think about it, because it says to do what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. He'll show you ways to bring income in or do something to meet your needs. He'll show you that. We just need not be anxious about it, because you can't be in faith and be anxious. You can't be in faith. You cannot. I mean, Charles Capps, you know, shared these things back in the 80s when I was going to his meetings. I mean, he shared how, Brother Hagin shared how he exercised his faith in areas where income wasn't coming into his life. He wasn't concerned about it, but he said he exercised his faith. That's what he did. He didn't get over into fear. He didn't get into worry or concern. He didn't say the pressures didn't come, but he exercised his faith. He began to do what? Call those things in that he had need of. And that's what we need to do, not be weighed down by those things. Joshua 1:8 says the same thing. This book of the law shall what? Not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, looking at that scripture, go over to Luke chapter 6 and look at the wise builder. And Luke 6, 47 and 48. Because this is exactly what Joshua 1:8 is saying. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, he said, "Whosoever cometh to me and does what? Heareth my sayings and what? Doeth them." So that's just exactly what Joshua said. He said, "Don't let this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night, and does what? Observe to do, that thou mayest observe to do, according to all that's written therein, and you'll make your way prosperous." That's exactly what this is going on here. He said, "I'll show you to whom that person is like. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock." Well, you know what that tells me? When the pressures of life come and they push and push and push and push, it's not moving the house. It's not budging it. It's going to withstand the pressures of life because we were built, we laid a foundation upon the Word of God. And it's going to take some effort on our part. It's not just going to come on us. You know, it's like Brother Hagin said, you know, when we read something in the Word of God, we've got to, faith takes something and believes that we've received it. Faith possesses something. "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe what? You receive them and you shall have them." So we have to believe that we've possessed peace. Peace is in me. And so peace is in me, joy is in me. And so I've got to do what? Release that. How am I going to release it? By faith. The words of my mouth. "Let not this book of the law depart out of my mouth." There's been a few times I'm making myself do it more often. But I remember there's a few times in my life I just decided to laugh. Nothing spiritual. I just decided to just laugh and start making myself laugh. And it was pitiful to begin with. But the more you do something, it began to stir up joy in my spirit. It began to stir up something in my my spirit. And the more I did, I started, it took about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes of just going, ha, 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 ha. And I kept doing that until I hit something. I hit some joy. I started to stir up joy in my spirit. And I began to stir that up, and it caused me to laugh even harder and harder, till the point was I got into a full Holy Ghost laughter. But it didn't start there. And sometimes when pressure comes, you've got to just say, you know what, I'm just going to laugh. Because the joy of the Lord, the presence of God, is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so when pressure comes, your joy can be stirred up. And you can just sit there and go, ha, ha, ha. I'm redeemed and he's defeated. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And in his presence is fullness of joy. So that's why he wants to keep us in fear and doubt and anxiety, because there's no joy in that. He wants to keep us anxious and fretful and worrying and just stuck in a rut. See? So Philippians 4:6. Let me jump over there. Philippians, be careful for nothing. It says, in some of these translations, stop the Weast translation, stop worrying about even one thing. Don't worry about anything, but talk to your Father about everything. Don't fret over anything. I'm reading some of these translations. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. That's the Amplified. The New American Bible. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Dismiss it. Cast it down. So when we do that, what is Philippians 4:7 say? When we do that, it says, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we can walk in this peace. And we can carry, just think about this, you know, when we hear about Paul, even his shadow coming in, healed people. Do you think that if you walk in with the peace of God into a setting, do you think that that peace will cause an impact into the setting that you go in? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're bringing the presence, you're bringing the Prince of Peace into that setting. You're bringing his peace into that setting. Oh, yes. So he will keep us in perfect peace if we do what? Keep our minds stayed on him. Now, I wanted to look again at something. Just a couple of scriptures here. Mark 13. This is Mark 14, verse 33. And this is Jesus in the garden. And Jesus is going in to pray with his disciples. He asked them to just stay with him while he prayed. And what is verse? He said he took, verse 33, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and was what? It says, and to be very heavy. That word, when I looked it up, very heavy, it means to be in distress of mind and full of heaviness. So he had some distresses come upon him based on what he was going to have to face. And he said in verse 34, and he saith, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And what? Tarry ye here and watch. And of course, you know, further down he said, Abba, Father, all things. He said, if it possible, that this hour would pass from him. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. So he operated in faith. You know, when you think about this worry, what does Romans 14 say? It says, that which is not of faith is what? Sin. So worry is sin. If we're anxious and worryful and anxious, it in God's eyes, it's sin because we're not operating in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that what? Cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if we're not operating in faith, then we're operating in something else. We're operating in either fear, worry, anxiety. And what God is showing us here is that he faced those things, his son did, and he overcame them. There was no sin in him. Think about this other, let's go over to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. And familiar story with verse 38 with Martha and Mary. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was what? Cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now she's saying, come on, Jesus, tell her to get in here and help me. And he answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It's interesting, you know, the way the translators translate things, but this word cumbered in the Greek means to be driven about mentally, to be distracted, to be overoccupied, too busy about something. In other words, she was careful about something. She was anxious, right? And further, when he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled, this word careful means to be troubled with cares. And we just got done. Jesus said, take no anxious thought. That's what she was doing. She was taking anxious thought. Jesus, come on, we got this to do here. Tell my sister to come in and help me. And troubled, that word careful and troubled, it means to be troubled in mind or disturbed. So she was, as they say, wired up. She was wired up, anxious, fretful about preparing something, doing something for Jesus, and Mary just sat there at his feet. And so, obviously, she felt compelled to prepare something and do something, and that was not the priority in Jesus' mind. And sometimes, when you go back to Matthew 6, when it says, take no anxious thought, see, we get our priorities out of kilt. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about them, but we're not to be anxious about them. He said, in Matthew 6, he said, life is more than just food and clothes and all those things. Not that they're not important, but don't get your priorities out of order where, as far as God is concerned, right? Now, let's just close and read this from Sunday. Let's go over to Isaiah 53 and look at verses 3, 4, and 5. And this is what we've been redeemed from. We've been redeemed from or through his blood. Where's this amplified? Isaiah 53, verse 3, in the King James, it said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne, not going to, he hath borne who? Our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So he bore our griefs. And this says here, he was a man of sorrows. He bore our griefs. This word grief is sickness. And borne means to take it away. He carried it and took it away. He forgave it. This word sorrows, and when it says carried our sorrows, this word sorrows means pain physically, but it also means pain mentally. It means grief, anxiety, stress, sorrows. So this says here, he carried them. He took them away. So our redemption was a complete redemption. It wasn't just sickness of our body, but it was mental anguish. It was all of these anxieties that we see perpetrated on society today that's causing people to be in extreme anxiety has been paid for. It's already been paid for. And when we feel anxious about something, when we feel, you know, we're quick to say, in Jesus' name, I command this sickness and disease out of my body. But then we sit and worry about it. No, well, the worry's been paid for too. See? And so when you think about this, Jesus, he not only took that, but he paid the price for it, but he also paid or took the underlying cause of it all, right? He became what? Sin. He became sin. So it's not that he just paid for this thing here and this thing. He took the cause of it all. He took and bore sin, which really is the cause of all of this. So it's been broken. So whenever we feel anxious, we need to rise up just like we do with anything else. And in faith say, oh no, peace is in me. You know, think about this. This has been, our redemption was paid for with what? The blood of Jesus. And so think about the scriptures that talk about this in Hebrews. Let me just go over here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4, I believe. Verse 15 and 16, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." So he was tempted with fear and pressure and anxiety. He was tempted with it, but this says here, just like we are, yet without sin. Then look verse 16. "Let us therefore," what? "Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So we need not sit there and wage a mental war going on in our minds. This says to come boldly to the throne of grace to find what? Help, mercy, and grace to help in the time of need. So whenever these things come, that's why he's saying, come to him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And how are we supposed to come? Come believing that we're going to receive it. I mean, James tells us. It says, if you're going to ask, any man lack wisdom, let him ask in faith. What? Nothing, what? Wavering. So we believe that we receive his grace and his mercy and help in the time of need. And so I do what? I act upon it. I believe I receive it. And he's working in my behalf. And I stand right up in the face of that with thanksgiving and say, thank you, Lord. I believe you're working it out. I believe that all of these things that are pressuring me are being broken. I believe that you're resolving it. I believe you're working in the midst of it. And you begin to laugh. Begin to rejoice. Amen. It takes faith to do that. It takes an effort on our part to do that. Otherwise, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, our hope is in the Lord. Amen. You know, I believe I'm just praying about reading something Sunday, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. But how does the light shine? In darkness, it shines its brightest. So how is it when we come into a setting that's dark with oppression and fear and anxiety, and we bring hope? Oh, it shines bright. It shines its brightest. And so, doesn't mean you may not feel it, and may even mean you may not have it come knocking on your door. But we've got the greater one on the inside, and he'll see us through if we keep our eyes set on him. He'll walk us through. Do not fear. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, not one thing. You know, I've had a few experiences. A few, but poignant for me, you know, when the Lord spoke to me back in 2000 and said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Well, that could cause you to fear. Didn't me, because I had been standing in faith for a year. But there was something I didn't know. And so I went, but even that, it took a couple weeks to get up off it and go do it, because I was convinced I had it, but I was in a lot of pain. So you've heard me share that. When I went, it's being led. I wasn't fearful. There was no fear. It was listening on the inside. It was this inner witness. What do I mean by that? It wasn't a voice. It was a sense. You know how you go, this just doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. And you go, you know why? Because it ain't right. And so the first doctor I went, he started going down his path, blah, 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 blah. And my spirit said, you're not the one. Never went back. And so it's finding and being led by the Spirit. Because he will walk you through something that looks deadly, looks like you're going down the tubes. It doesn't have to be health. It could be finances. It could be merit. Whatever it is. Don't get in fear. Don't be anxious. Let peace lead you. Let that peace of God, it says, all the paths of wisdom are peace. So wisdom will lead us and show us what to do, the right choices to make, and we'll come out on top every single time. Every time. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are growing in this area of peace. Thank you, Father, that you're leading us. Thank you that you redeemed us with your blood. And we thank you that your Spirit is living in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we thank you, Father, that we set our eyes upon you. And we look to you and trust you, and seek you for direction in every area of our life, even in these things that come and knock on our door. We thank you that you're giving us supernatural peace to walk through it. And thank you that you're giving us direction in life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm convinced that as we meditate upon these things more and more and more, that we will have our minds and our hearts kept almost like you'd walk in a cocoon. You know, if you could express it that way, where you'll walk in divine supernatural peace. And I believe that. Honestly do. There have been a few times in my life that, and I've only experienced it a few times, where I experienced supernatural peace. And it was so strong that it consumed my thinking and consumed me. I don't look for it. It happened a few times. And you could have shot a gun off underneath me and it wouldn't have bothered me. It was just, his presence was so strong that there was supernatural peace. And I believe that as we, how many have been in services? You know, you can think about this. But every one of us here have been in a church setting where the Spirit of God manifests himself and there's his presence just comes in. Is there not a presence of peace? Oh, yes. And so that's the point we're making. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is peace. And so you can even take this and say, well, how do you cause his presence to become more tangible to you? Pray more in the Holy Ghost. Pray more in the Spirit. And you'll sense his presence more and more. Amen.